Still dancing. Oh yeah. Hello everyone. And you know, we did that nice intro. You know what I'm hearing from all y'all in the chat? I like the other song better, Jet. Do you really like the other song better? I think you just got used to me dancing to that one and you need to ease into this one. Put your comments in there. I want to see it. If you prefer the other song, we can always, by the way, bring that song back and loop it over this montage. So you got to make your voices heard. Maybe we'll do a little poll. Do you like the old song or the new song? And then we'll let you decide. Nothing like empowering the audience. Welcome, everyone. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be spicy. It's going to be crazy. Here's what I got for you today. And then I'm going to tell you who the show is brought to you by, one of my favorite partners. And then we're going to dig right in. All right, so first I'm going to react to a feminist. There's a feminist that's outraged by an alpha male. She doesn't like what he says about his woman listening to him and seeking guidance from him. She actually gasps. You're going to hear a little from her, and we're going to tell you why. Then I happened to go over to see my friends at Whatever podcast. You know I love them. They had Kazumi on. Y'all know Kazumi? Mm-hmm. That Kazumi. Anyway, she was on. And she was having a debate about a whole bunch of topics with Brian. They talk about, you know, respect, who deserves respect, Andrew Tate, body count, what women want, biology, what it means, does it matter in terms of what women want. So I decided that it would be fun to take on what she said. So it's going to be Jed versus Kazumi. Let's see who wins. I'm also going to explore the idea of female privilege in the dating game. Some women refuse to acknowledge they have that privilege. We know that it exists. Why not just be honest about it? And there's an OnlyFans creator on that same panel that says that her job is just like any other job. So if you're out there, doctor, lawyer, you know, whatever, maybe you work at McDonald's. I don't know what you do. Your job is just like an OnlyFans creator's. Didn't you know? You didn't get the memo? Mm-hmm. Sure, honey. Then I'm going to save the best for last. I'm going to take on a liberal soy boy, me versus him. You're going to see that debate. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to close with some Matrix stuff. I need to tell you why the medical system is broken and why you need to beware. And also, if you're wondering what government propaganda looks like when it's actually put out there in an open campaign, don't be afraid to see what you see. We're going to show you what that looks like. Okay, so that's the show today. We're going to start in just a second. Today's show is brought to you by Casandrinos. Y'all know I love it. Y'all know I love my olive oil. Are you keto? I ask in the audience. Are you keto? Are you paleo? Are you into eating healthy? Are you somebody who works out? I'm sure a lot of you have answered yes to those questions. That's why I love this olive oil. I'm sure you're using something to cook, right? Something. So, or you make a salad. Whatever you're making, you drizzle some oil on. I'm telling you, Casandrinos is the way to go. This is certified, GMO verified, okay? Nothing nasty in there. It's keto certified. It's paleo certified. It's certified organic. It's cold pressed and it's absolutely unbelievably delicious. If you buy this olive oil, you are going to taste, you'll see the difference also, because oftentimes the coloring is different than what you get in the stores, and you're also going to taste the difference. Now, why do I like this olive oil? Why is this important? It's free of chemicals. It's free of pesticides. It's free of all of that nasty stuff. It's also not rancid. Oftentimes when you go to the store, you buy your olive oil, you decide, oh, I'm going to buy some organic olive oil. I'm doing something healthy for my body. What you don't know is that that olive oil has been sitting on the shelf sometimes for a year. It's been exposed to light in a way it shouldn't have been. It's lost all of its nutrients. It's lost all of its taste. It tastes funny. Would you be able to take that olive oil, take a spoonful of it and swallow it and get some healthy fats in your day? Probably not. You're probably not going to like the taste. With Casandrinos, I do it every day. Take a spoonful. I'm like, all on its own. It's so delicious, I'm telling you. This is a family-owned and operated company. This is a veteran-owned and operated company. And what sets it apart is they don't sell in stores. They don't sell in stores because they don't want to compromise their quality of their product. So you know you're getting that batch from that season's harvest. These olives are hand-picked from Greece. It makes an enormous difference. You don't feel like you have this machine involved. This is a very farm-to-table experience. It's absolutely 100% worth your time. Pesticide-free farming, no garbage in your food. Every batch of their olive oil goes through two independent third-party tests for quality and freshness, and you can go right on their website. They're super transparent about all of what they do. Peak antioxidant absorption. All of this is amazing. I have a special offer for you today. You are going to get 25% off with code Jedediah. You can go right into the description and you can click on that and get your 25% off. Remember, it does you no good to buy good quality, high quality meats, whatever, if you're then going to drizzle some garbage on it, right? It's got to be a whole package deal. This is an investment. There is nothing that is worth your investment more than your own personal health and that of your family. Just give it a try. Give the taste a whirl. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Costinger, you know, go on and get your money. Get your discount, man. If you're going to want to do something healthy for your body, why not take advantage of a discount? I love a good discount. I don't know about you. All right. So we're going to start. By the way, the chat is open. Hit that subscribe right off the bat. Hit that like button. Chat will be open today. We're reading the super chats. Deli is here. I know he's dressed like the Terminator. He's got the, I don't know what's going on. Let's see. Hopefully he's not a tool of the Matrix. I can't make any promises because I don't know what goes on in this building when I leave. But, you know, regardless, he's here. He's going to be passing those chats along to me and I'm going to be reading them and sharing them. So if you got beef with what I'm saying or you love what I'm saying, share it. We're going to start with the panel that happened on Just Pearly. This is a very, very important point that this alpha guy makes about his relationship and about why feminists are oftentimes so instantly offended by what he says. Let's take a listen, that first one.
Traditional relationship right now with your sweet one?
Traditional? Well, no, I'm not married, so...
Yeah, I heard you say that. But would you forget marriage, like a traditional relationship?
Well, she listens to me. She respects what I say.
Hi, my chest...
See, okay. The reason why that hurt your chest is because you was with a man that didn't do anything for you. So
no,
that,
oh my, oh no, my last man did a lot for me, but that's not why it hurt my chest.
No, but I'm saying, like, see, when a woman listens to you because she trusts you in leadership, she understands that this guy I'm with, he's not going to do me, he's not going to steer me down the wrong path. He's a strong leader. That's why she listens to me. So not, she doesn't listen to me because she hasn't got a mind. Of course, she can do whatever she wants. I do not control any woman. But when you're with a right man, you will actually fall into your feminine and let him lead and do certain things because you trust in his leadership. And a lot of times when women go, my chest, is because they haven't experienced that.
Oh, it's because that's what you led with. But I've heard what you've led with, your leadership.
No, but what I mean is, What I'm trying to say is, the shock in it, that's not what girls do.
That you don't want to be with a guy that you trust his leadership.
So this is great. Absolutely. She's like, I was sighing because that's what you led with. What does that even mean? What he led with? You were sighing and carrying on, getting all crazy, not because that's what he led with. You were sighing because feminism taught you to have that reaction. Feminism taught you that you were supposed to be offended. Deeply, deeply offended by what he had said. Now, what does this mean? This means that what all he's saying is that when you're with a guy and you trust that guy, you're going to be willing to listen. You're going to be willing to hear what he has to say. You're going to be willing to accept guidance. I'll tell you this. If you're in a relationship with a man and you're comfortable with him and you trust him, you are automatically just going to sink back a little bit and just say, you know what? He's got this. And you're not going to be upset about it. You're not going to be bothered by it. You're not going to be screaming about it. You're just going to be like, you know what? I trust this guy. You're not going to be triggered in that way, okay? Because you're, and it's up to you, right? As a lady, you got to choose the guy that you're going to trust. You choose a man, you say, you know what? I'm going to marry this guy. And then you say, well, you know what? He's looking out for me. He's looking out for my family. He's looking out for himself. He's looking out for all of us as a family unit. Now, notice that this guy says outright, I do not want to control women. I'm not interested in controlling any of my women. They all have their own mind. They all have. So it's not a situation of like, she listens to me because she has to, because there's no other way. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is because she trusts me, there's a natural dynamic that develops in the relationship where she's just willing to say, you know what? I'm going to let him figure this one out, you know, or you know what? We're in a bit of a financial predicament here. I'm going to let him navigate us out of this because that's why she chose him. Because she wanted that rock in her relationship. She wanted it to be a man who was that rock. She wanted him to handle some tough stuff. And she wanted to know that he had a good head on his shoulders so that she can just not panic about that stuff and have a good leader at the head of household in that family. Women are taught to hear, instead of what he actually said, women are taught to hear, oh, he wants to boss you around. He wants to control you. He wants to run the house. He thinks you don't have a mind of your own. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say any of that stuff. So women, part of your job in life right now, if you want to be a free-thinking person, you want to have a good head on your shoulders, part of your job in life is to deprogram yourself because feminism has programmed you. So you need to be able to hear what men are saying and just hear what they're saying. Simply, just hear what they're saying instead of what you were told to glean from what they're saying because you have been programmed. Until you acknowledge that, you need to be able to sit down at the table and just say, everything I've been told to think, I'm throwing that all in the garbage pail. Let me just hear what he's saying. This is a guy who's in a relationship He's probably in a very healthy relationship from what I can tell. He's with somebody who trusts him. And he is not in any way, I'm going to repeat this again and again, he is not in any way trying to tell a woman what to do. What he is saying is that he has provided a space where he makes good decisions, she trusts him, and she is comfortable leaning on his decision-making process because of the dynamic that he has in that relationship and because he has done stuff right to enable her to trust him. Now, what is the message here? You can't go pick some simpy, you know, lazy, obese guy and expect to be able to lean on that guy. So women, the message is not lean on all men. The message is you have the power to size up that guy. And if that guy has his life together, that's a guy that you decide to lean on, right? And you feel comfortable leaning on. And by the way, in a relationship, you're going to lean both ways. Like, he's going to lean on her in different ways. She's going to lean on him in different ways. So this isn't like, you know, some type of, servitude. It's just, again, men and women are different. You got to be comfortable leaning on your man. You have to. There's going to be times you're going to want that option and you're going to want that flexibility in your relationship. But it's amazing to me. You see that programming, all of it, programming. Okay. Now we're going to get into Kazumi because, you know, that's what really, that first one was just like a entryway. Okay. So y'all know anything about Kazumi? Kazumi's an OnlyFans girl. And I don't know if you remember, I think she goes by Kazumi Squirts. And she does a lot of things on OnlyFans that we're not going to discuss in detail. But some of them involve trains. She talks about it. She says, oh, she loves it. At one point, I think she said she had a body count of like 1 million. And she was like, yeah, I'm proud of it, you know. So that is her, what she's putting out. That's not what I'm putting out there. That's not what somebody else is putting out there. I'm not defining her. She's defining herself for you. So needless to say, she and I disagree on some things. So let's start with respect. Let's go to 1150. This is from whatever podcast. You'll see in a second.
Of what my income is or what anyone's income is, they should still be respected no matter what. I feel like when I say I make a lot of money, people start thinking it's more or less valid, when in reality, regardless of how much money I make, I should still be respected as a human being no matter what my occupation is.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just stop it right there before I start to get agitated. The blood's already starting to boil. So first she tries to make it about money. Like, of course, people can deserve respect regardless of how much money they make. There could be somebody, it's not about money. Honey, we're not having a conversation about money. I know you make a lot of money. This isn't a conversation about money. This is a conversation about what you do. This is a conversation about your values. Now, if you are a woman who gives it up really easily, if you are a woman who casually and thoughtlessly has sex with multiple partners on camera and you call it your job, if you are a woman who is proudly loose with her body, if you're a woman that is proudly out there saying, oh, yeah, I do trains and all this stuff, which you do, that is not going to earn you respect from a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people, vast majority of people, men, we're talking about, you know, opposite sex here mostly. So they're not going to respect you. You don't just automatically enter the world and get respect. You earn respect from people by the decisions that you make for yourself, for your family, for your life. So if we're going to talk about, I love these people that say, oh, human respect for everyone. Okay, so if somebody just harms somebody else, do they automatically earn your respect? No. We have standards in society. We have moral standards in society. What she's doing is nasty. Okay, it's nasty. Do I respect what she's doing? No, I don't. Does it put a stain on her as a person that she would make those choices? Yes. And I know we live in a world now where you're not allowed to judge anyone, right? Oh, you can't judge an obese person because if you say they're obese, somehow you're being hateful. You can't judge somebody who's, you know, making a living, you know, making all this money by being sexually nasty out there with a bunch of people, body count over 1 million. I don't even think that's possible, but, you know, it's high enough. No, you can judge. You can pass judgment and say, that's despicable behavior. That's behavior that's going to get you, you know, less of an option when it comes to, you know, quality men. That's behavior you wouldn't want your daughter to emulate. You know, in the same way you can look at an obese person and say, that's a bad decision to be fat. Here's why. You're going to be prone to disease, blah, blah, blah. We could go through the whole list. But we now live in a society where you can't say anything. Everything's got to be like, oh, just live and let live. Live and let live. It's all, sure, live and let live. She's free to do whatever she wants. I'm not telling her what to do. Understand the distinction. She is free to do whatever she wants. The same way I am free to tell her that what she's doing is a stain on women. It is. And that if she ever has a daughter, I would hope to God that she wouldn't want her daughter to follow in her footsteps. So sorry to say, but judgment, this is a judgment friendly zone. You can feel free to judge me, by the way, too. You don't like what I'm saying? Fine. Interestingly enough, something happened this weekend, too. Did you see what happened over on Twitter that I blew up over there? Oh, man. I caused a scene. I wasn't going to talk about this, but why not? I don't know. Maybe Deli can pull it up. Anyway, I put a tweet up, and I said, masculinity. I just want to show you what happens, how reactive people are. I put a tweet up. I won't be able to get on here, Deli. Maybe you can. Go to my Twitter account. There's a tweet that said, like, masculinity in 2023, and it's just a picture. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. You'll see it if he's able to pull it up. And, okay, masculinity. Now, notice, I did not put a comment. I did not put my opinion about it. I put masculinity in 2023 and a photo. So I didn't malign. I didn't curse. I didn't say, oh, what a horrible. I just said masculinity in 2023. Can you just look at the views on that one? Head down and see. I think it's at, like, I don't know if you can see. I think we're in the millions. Yeah, we're in 40 plus million. I cannot tell you the trolls. I had somebody report me and it got denied because there's nothing wrong that I'm saying. But what the timeline was really filled with were offended people who said to me, like, you don't have a right to say that. That's disparaging. You don't have a right. Now, let's say I did write above it, it's horrible what has happened to masculinity in 2023. Let's just say I wrote that. I didn't say that. And I purposely was vague, by the way, because I wanted to see them expose themselves. The reason people got upset about that tweet is because they harbor their own insecurities about their own lack of masculinity or what's going on with them. They harbor their own insecurities and they reacted to my tweet based on what they saw in that photo themselves. Like, that, it was all what was going on with them. Some insecurity, some anger, all this stuff. Believe me, I heard from all the drag queens. I heard from everybody, right? And me too, I'm sitting here just like, how did you know I wasn't talking about the fact that he's fat? Y'all know I rail against that. How did you know what I was talking about? Oh, he's non-binary. I got all these messages, which I didn't even know. I don't know any. If anybody who knows me knows, I'm like pop culture dumb, right? So it was interesting, everybody gleaned. But the response is you can't judge. So everything is deemed a judgment now. If I had an opinion, no, you can't say that. It might offend somebody. Too bad. Listen, if you're listening to this show and you're worried you're going to hear something that might offend you, you're probably listening to the wrong show. I'm probably going to offend you at some point, right? Because I got to speak truth. Too bad. Don't be a crybaby. You're not getting a safe space at JB Live. We don't have a safe space here. Not even for Deli. Okay. All right, I'm going back to my point. I'm going back to Kazumi. Don't worry. I guess sometimes I sideline a little bit, but I think that was a worthy mention. I'm sure that thing's going to go up to like 10 million. They're going to be writing me. I get all sorts of hate mail. I'm like, y'all just yelling at each other. I don't care. It doesn't faze me. All right, so Kazumi decides she's going to weigh in on Andrew Tate. Oh, yeah. This is number 3. Let's play hers and then I'll react.
I guess what specifically about what Andrew Tate says do you disagree with?
Do you agree that women should have their body counts on their forehead?
Why? Okay, I've seen that clip. Yeah, you've actually reacted to it on this
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, but do you agree?
Can I see it? Later.
Perhaps later. Yeah. So what's your question?
First of all, I think it is we are perfectly able to talk about how men should focus on themselves and empower themselves to be kings and whatever the fuck without demeaning womanhood and like also putting all their value on their personal choices. Like, it's those things can totally be separate. Also, like, all men benefit from a system built by the patriarchy.
Oh, God.
While we are women and we are dealing.
I mean, you could just. Okay, pause it for a second. You hear that? Erroneous. They have that little machine. I need a little machine here with stuff that shouts. I like that. Erroneous. I love it. It's really good. She doesn't know what erroneous means, so that's a whole separate topic for a different day. But, my first comment is about the body count. So you remember that clip about Andrew Tate? We showed it here where he's like, oh, if you put women's body counts on their forehead, it would solve a lot of problems. 100% true. Now, was he saying go and draw people's body count on their forehead? Go do it. No, he wasn't. You have to be like brain dead to actually think that he was going to advocate for women to walk around with a stamp on their forehead. Okay. I mean, are we in the land of the brain deads here? What he was just saying is if that women had to be accountable for their behavior, you would see a change in female behavior. And as a result, you would see a change in male behavior. And the society at large would probably be in a better place. That is 100% true. My question to Kazumi is, if you're so proud of what you do for a living and you're so proud of that high body count, why would you care if your body count was on your forehead? You're telling everyone anyway. Why? Are you really not proud of it? Do you know deep down inside that most women aren't proud of it when it's high, which is why when they're on these panels and women have to speak up and it's like 7 and they look around to see how it's going to be. They know that it's nasty, right? Or are you worried that women will start to think about these decisions that they're making, realize it's not good for them, realize that it doesn't put them in the best position to get a good man, and their behavior might change, and the appetite for all of this nasty stuff that's going on might also decrease, which might hurt your bottom line and bottom dollar. Maybe you're thinking about that. Secondly, Andrew Tate does not demean women. He doesn't demean women. How does he demean? I would have asked, what are the examples? Brian should have said, oh, really? He demeans, but let's hear. Do you have examples? Is what you would have heard. You would have heard she would have started vomiting out. Misogynist and property and hates women. You know, it's just some nonsense. Just what do I string together? You know, sure. And then she spits out the patriarchy again. If I were Brian, I would have been, oh, the patriarchy's in charge. How so, honey? No, really, I want to know. I'm taking notes. Let me, this way I can, after this, make a call to the patriarchy and have them stop doing what they're doing to you. In fact, the patriarchy is so powerful that Kazumi made over $3 million last year having sex with a whole bunch of strangers on the internet and is doing fantastic and is making a ton of money off guys that are giving money because the patriarchy? What are you even talking about? There is no patriarchy. That is a talking point. If there were a patriarchy, by the way, you wouldn't be making that kind of money doing what you're doing. You are proof, your life, what you're doing and how much money you're making and the system you're making it and how you're playing on men and all that is proof that the patriarchy doesn't exist, among other things. So stop talking and running the mouth if you don't have facts to back it up. Tell me, I want a list. You want to come on the show? Because, I mean, by the way, you're more than welcome. We can have this debate. By the way, in the chat, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. In the chat, can you do me a favor while we're talking about all this? I want to know who you want to hear from on the show. Because I only bring guests on that I really, really, really want to talk to. But if there's someone you really want to hear from, let me know. I'll consider it for sure. Okay. Let's keep going. Can we keep playing that one? I'm not sure if I wrapped it, so let's play it.
What did that say?
It said erroneous, but continue.
Yeah. while we are simply in this structure, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I also don't have to live by your rules. And if you feel like you are trapped in a place where women only want you for your money or what you offer, then I just beg you to go the fuck outside and meet more women.
But she's okay, talking about, I can't.
Great, honestly. Yeah. Okay. Like,
she's talking about how, you know, oh, women aren't trying to get money out of guys. Her whole job is her getting naked, trying to get guys to pay. I mean, are we in some type of, like, I'm telling you, I think I'm in the underworld half the time. By the way, the best part of that show is that doll with the blue hair. And I love in the shorts. My favorite part is when they go to the doll. They do the shorts. They go to a woman saying something stupid. And then they go to the doll that's just like, and I would copy it if I could. I'm not going to lie, Brian, if you're listening, I would copy that doll. I'm not going to because, you know, it would be obvious. But I would definitely get a bimbo doll and sit it right here next to me. That would be fantastic. But I can't because you got the idea first and I have to pay homage to that. All right. Let's. Kazumi's not going to tell you what women want. She's going to tell you what women want. And as it turns out, she thinks that women don't care about your guys in the chat. Guys out there listening to the show. She thinks that women don't care about your money. Let's play it. 3846.
That Tate's primary topic of interest is saying that women only care about money. I don't think he says that at all.
I think
that's a factor, but to deny that women don't care about a man's money is
I don't think a lot of
dubious.
Women care.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of women don't care, and I also feel like Tate creates a reality for these men to live in that make it seem like women are constantly out to get them or manipulate them. But if they would just
He doesn't say that.
Did you see his new? But did I'm not arguing. But did you see his new, like foundation that he's like gonna donate? I think it was like $100 million. I'm probably getting my math wrong, but to protect men of fake allegations.
You're derailing the conversation.
Okay, can we just pause? This woman on the end, by the way, is lost in space 90% of the panel. She's just like throwing stuff. What would be wrong with that? By the way, let's just ask if Tate donated however much money to a foundation that would protect men against false allegations. What's the problem exactly with that? What am I missing? Do you want women to be able to just accuse guys of things and get away with it just for you know what, for fun? So everybody who accuses a man of something shouldn't have to go through a process of having to show evidence. There should be no due process for that man. Is that what you're suggesting that should happen? Why are you so bothered by him wanting to protect men and say, if you're guilty, you're guilty, but if you're not, there should be a series of protections for you because we have something called due process that's supposed to exist. She's bothered by it. Irritates her for some. You know, these women are unbelievable. Just goes to show you. Just goes to show you what type of society we live in right now. So let's go back to women not caring about men's money. Is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? I don't know what's going on with the kitten. Is she a kitten with the pink on? Can we pull that back up, Deli? I just want to show. What is that? Is that a cat? I'm not sure what's going on there. I know these OnlyFans girls. It's like everybody's in a costume. I'm not sure what's going on with the kitten, but the kitten weighs in and essentially says, "Oh no, you want women." And you want men to think that women really care about their money, but it's not true. What are you talking about? Women are interviewed on this over and over and over again. And in their own words, they say, yeah, we wanted to make six figures. Now, maybe if you're an OnlyFans creator and you're making a bunch of money, six figures to you doesn't sound like a lot. But the reality is six figures is a lot of money because when you're dealing with a guy that makes six figures, again, you're dealing with the top, what is it? It's between 15 and 20% of guys. So that is caring about money. And I think women oftentimes just think like, oh, I don't really care about money. They'll say, I don't care about money. No, I just want a good guy, but he's got to make six figures. Then you care about money. Then you care about money. So just be honest about it. So this assessment that most women don't care about a guy's money is utterly ridiculous. Kazumi's going to go on. Let's listen to what she says.
Okay, so you guys, okay, well, I want to give you an opportunity to come in. Do you think that women don't care about men's money at all? Is that what your guys' position is?
No, I didn't say that we don't care at all. I'm just saying it's like
personal preference.
You should just be able to have your own thing going on, and that's fine. I think when men are afraid of women making a lot of money, it's because they feel like they can't control her anymore. I think it's fine that I have a job and then you have a job, and you don't need to make $1 bajillion for me to date you or like lose my integrity. I'm just saying that I'm happy that you have your own goals and dreams and you're able to hold your own, and so will I. And we will be with each other because we want to be, not because we need to be.
Men are not afraid. Can you pause it for a second? Women who make.
Don't you feel like you're listening to her rattle off some type of storybook with like a theme and a message? And don't worry, we all love each other. We're all in this together. I mean, it's just some type of nauseating stuff that's not translating into reality for me. First of all, she makes $3 million plus a year. Okay, I don't know that she's the example of just the regular average girl. But what I will tell you is the more money that women make, generally speaking, the more money they expect their guy to make, which is why these women in these career paths that make 100K and then 200K and then 500K and then 800K wind up backing themselves into a corner. It's because they're making more money and now they're looking for their man to make more money than them. So the pool of guys that they are able to choose from shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, and they wind up alone and unhappy a lot of the time. Now, am I telling women not to work? No. Am I telling women what to do? No. I am telling you that this is a reality. This is a side effect of the choices that you're making. So just know that pool is shrinking. So you can't tell what, because you're going to tell me Kazumi is going to go want to be with some guy that works at what, McDonald's? I mean, it's ridiculous. No, she's not. She's not. That's just, I mean, women, just be honest about how you feel. Again, men are not saying we about women like, oh, you know, when it comes to money, it's they don't care how much money you make. It's not a barometer of whether they're going to choose you or not. They don't care. So it's not like, oh, she makes money and that's threatening to me and I don't know if I'm going to be able to compete. That is not what's going through their minds in the vast majority of cases. What's going through their minds is just, okay, like that's not going to make me pick you or not. That's not up there. In the same way I told you a million times that a guy will choose a woman who works at McDonald's over a CEO if they are pleasant, if their personality is right, if they're considerate, if they're loyal. It's just money is just not high on the priority list for guys in terms of who they're going to choose to pair with. So it's not about like, oh, your money is a problem. It's just that your money's not necessarily going to make me pick you. It's not high on my list. Women have a really hard time understanding that. Why? Because it is high on women's list when they look at guys. Not every case. If you're a woman out there, I love you. I get these messages like, well, not me. I get it. And to be perfectly honest with you, I wasn't particularly wired that way my whole life. But just because I wasn't doesn't mean that I didn't see hordes and hordes of women around me who were. So when we talk about majority, majority is majority. It's not going to account for every person, but it is going to account for majority. So we got to just be honest about that. All right, let's keep going. And then I'm going to, are we good for the chat in a few couple minutes? Yeah. Okay. Let's finish this one.
A lot of money because they're afraid that they're going to lose the girl.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Men just don't. It's not something that's particularly important to us how much money a woman makes.
That's not true.
That is.
You think it's not true? Men care deeply about how much money a woman makes?
Well, you didn't say deeply. I mean, everyone has their own opinions, obviously, but I definitely think that how much.
Generally speaking,
I think that there are men out there that care about what their significant other will bring to the table because they are like
not financially.
No.
Financially.
No.
Not financially. Plus, like, other, I'm not saying that all men don't care about that, but most men, it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's also what we're saying about women. All women don't care about how much money a man.
Okay,
may
pause
making.
It. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Brian is right. Okay, he's saying most women do care about money when it comes to a guy. Most men don't care about money when it comes to a woman. Why is this so hard to understand? I don't understand. Is there something with the female logic that just the dots don't connect sometimes? He's talking about most cases. And you're nitpicking this case and this case. Fine. You can have this case and this case all you want. Are there some guys out there that you could be like, do you care about your wife's career? You'll find some. But it's going to be a needle in the haystack type of thing. You're not going to be – you ask 10 guys – I will guarantee you that the majority of go into rooms, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. I will guarantee you that you will come out and the majority will not care about how much money their woman makes. That will not be a factor for them. Go in that same 10, 10, 10 women and you ask them, I guarantee you the majority of women will care. So why? I mean, I don't understand. Why you always got to be like, not for me. Not for, okay. Not, who is, was he talking about you? Was he saying you're God? You know what this is? Women take things personally. We do. Include me in that, by the way. We have a trigger reaction to take things personally. If you say something, it's like we take it like, well, I didn't do that. It's like me when I started having these conversations and they were talking to me about the modern women. And I was like, I didn't do that. Well, no, I didn't do it, right? But I should have just been like, well, I didn't do it. But look around you, honey. People are doing it. You got to. Part of this game is the deprogramming. Deprogram your gut response and just think. Okay? All right. Oh, look, we have some chats. We'll get to those in a second. Let's play the second one there, 3940.
I don't care about men's money at all. Is that what your guys' position
is?
No,
I didn't say that we don't care at all. I'm just saying it's like
personal preference.
So this goes on. I'm not going to go through this. We bled into this before. On and on. They go, by the way, this goes on for like 10 minutes of him being like, but I'm saying most. And they're like, no, but there's this. But it's like it's seriously just a refusal to acknowledge what's happening. Okay, emotional reaction. By the way, we have to own our stuff. We get emotional sometimes. It clouds the logic, right? Okay, we have to. Let me read these. Costanita Soy. I could be reading that wrong. Yes, please get the machine and put Andrew's voice screaming, haram. It kills me every time I hear it. Oh my God, they have it on here. You're going to hear it. Haram. I love it. You're going to hear it on the Whatever podcast. It's fantastic. I should get that because some of this we're seeing is haram, if you know what I'm saying. Matt Butcher, $10. Toxic buzzwords meant to manipulate and spread, distort reality and normalize self-destructive bad behavior. I see it's working, unfortunately. That is an unfortunate reality. Okay. I want to get to... Let's get to body count, shall we? Let's do it. Let's just tear that Band-Aid right off. 57, 52. Let's do it.
So I threw a birthday party this weekend, and it was really funny because since I do porn, and I'm just a social person that's an LA native, I invited everyone ever. So it was obviously a lot of people I've had sex with from college, from my last job. From
mom!
Like, how long ago was college?
No.
Many.
keep going.
But like, you know, it's just like people throughout my life, like from like when I was like 18, from high school, from my to now, like now that I'm a porn star. And I felt that something really eclectic that someone noticed was that none of them had a specific look. It was just the common denominator was they were open-minded, they were usually really funny, but physically and with their jobs, it was extremely sporadic and eclectic.
Do you hear this woman? She had a party, and she invited a whole bunch of people to the party that she had slept with over the course of the last, I don't know, decade. And they're all in the room together, and it's a lot of people. And what she chooses to say is, oh, wow, they have a diversity of jobs, and they all look different. And she's like patting herself on the back like, wow, I don't really have – I really appreciate diversity in men. It didn't occur to her how nasty it was to, one, why are you inviting all people that you've been intimate with to all hang out with each other? There's a nastiness to that, and disrespectful, mind you, because not everybody lives the way that you do. That's disrespectful. And secondly, looking out at a room and seeing like hundreds of people, and you're like, oh, I had sex with that one. I was like, how are you so disconnected from your femininity that you don't realize how distasteful that is? That's just skipping a beat. Now, granted, we'll say, okay, it's Kazumi, and Kazumi does this for a living. But just think about that. Because on a smaller scale, there are women everywhere who are making decisions to be more loose with their bodies. And what's happening is, you know, maybe they're not Kazumi, but what they're doing is they're showing up at parties, and they're looking at, oh, I hooked up with that guy last week and that guy over there a year ago and that guy over there. He and I had a summer and we didn't sleep together, but we did everything else. And they're just kind of all around all the time and talking to each other. And there is something so uncomfortable for somebody like me looking at that, even, because I come from a time where you had enough self-respect that if you were with one person in that group, that was it. You had to go find a different group. Right? You couldn't be doing all of that. And this is not supposed to be an episode of like a teenage drama that's unfolding in your life where your tongue's been down everybody's throat, their tongue's been down everybody else's throat. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Right? And it's a sign of no self-respect. So when I look at these women just talking about, oh, there's a room full of people and I had slept with all of them and wow, they were all wearing different clothes. Who cares what they were wearing? What the heck's wrong in your head that you invited them all to hang out together? Wow. Okay, let's keep playing it.
Like, there were people who were short, there were people who were tall, there were people who were fat, there were people that were buff, but the common denominator was that
was you,
we had,
honey,
a really cool connection.
The common denominator was that they had all shopped inside the 7-Eleven. That is you. That was the common denominator. They're all sitting saying, oh yeah, I've been there before. Oh, I've been there before. Disgusting. Disgusting. And how can any guy that you choose to be with one-on-one in an exclusive relationship ever not think about that? What, are you going to cut all these people off? Or is that guy ultimately that you decide to have a serious relationship with one-on-one, not an open relationship, you make that decision, you're going to have this party and he's going to be looking at a room full of guys that you've been with, some publicly on the internet? Come on. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your options and you know it. You're just cashing in right now, so it feels good. But you got to be honest about what this is going to do to your trajectory now. If you don't care, if you never want to have an exclusive relationship with anybody, fine. But if you at any point in your life are looking to have a child or looking to go down that route, what you're doing right now is going to hurt you. And to tell women that it's not and to incentivize that behavior in women, you're not doing a service to anybody. Okay, let's keep going.
Together. Granted, I'm also in an open relationship, so it's not Shocking. Weird for me to bring all the people I've ever fucked in one room. You know,
how many people in that room were there that you had?
Well, okay, it's not like I fucked everyone in the room.
Can ask, as a corn star, like, do you keep track of your like body count now? I'm curious about.
I'm also an adult woman, so I don't keep track of my body count. If I had to, it's probably one bajillion, you know. So whether you can respect me or not.
I 100% do. I don't think a body count matters at all.
Yeah. Okay, let's pause that for a second. Matters. She says it because she's an adult woman. Oh, who cares about body count? Can I tell you something? If you're a female and you have to keep track of your body count, you're already doing something wrong. If you have to sit and go, oh, this one, that one, and oh, yeah, that was that summer. Oh, I did go to Paris that year, and then let me add a couple there. And then, oh, if you're doing this, you've already made too many mistakes. That's crazy. You should be like, boom, somebody asks you, boom, that's it. And frankly, it should all fit on less than one hand. I'm not kidding. I don't care how old you are, because it's really starting to get disgusting. It's starting to get disgusting. It really is, because most of these women are like in their 20s and they're like, oh, well, let me think. Oh, I don't even remember that night I was drunk. So, I mean, how do you expect to be taken seriously on anything? This idea that, oh, you're an adult. This is not about what you choose to do with your life. I don't care if you have sex with 50 people in a day, if it's consensual and you're doing you do whatever you want. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that having sex with 50 people in a day isn't going to hurt your chances of settling down with a good quality man one day. Then I'd be lying to you. Unbelievable. And she's like, oh, body count. It just doesn't. And you notice how women oftentimes on these panels will use the word should or shouldn't. That shouldn't matter. That shouldn't matter. It's not about what should or shouldn't. It's about what does and what is. So you can choose, and women, a lot of times on these panels, modern women choose not to live in the land of reality. They prefer to live in the land of fiction or should, could, all that stuff, because it's convenient to live that way. Then you get to make a whole bunch of excuses for your bad behavior, and you get to say, well, guys shouldn't care. But the reality is that they do, so it bites you in the behind. So why can't we just acknowledge the truth? God, it's like modern women don't like the truth. Okay, let's keep going.
Talk about that at all. Later, yeah. Too.
I was waiting for that to come.
We'll talk about body count later.
Let's just say it's 1 million, and if people don't respect me over it, they wouldn't have respected me even if I had five. So also, it's just tired because every single podcast, everyone has to ask me about my body count as if it's like a zinger moment. You have 1 million, huh?
She's trying to say, then we're going to move on. She's trying to say that if a woman had a body count of five, if she had a body count of five, or if she had a body count of 1 million, those two, that woman would garner the same amount of respect from a man. So that's, again, she's telling herself a lie so that she can continue to do what she's doing, cash in, and one day she's going to feel the pain of that lie. Because there is a drastic difference between a woman who has been in, say is her age, I don't know what she is, late 20s is my guess. Say a woman her age has been with five guys and had five relationships and, you know, didn't sleep with anybody else but those five guys. Okay, that's a big difference between that woman and what she's doing. If she can't acknowledge that that woman with the five is going to appeal to much more men than she will, then she's living in the land of delusion because she wants to. So, and this, again, the reason I'm talking about Kazumi is because people say, well, Jen, there's not a lot of Kazumis out there. True, but this is happening on a smaller scale. Take Kazumi and now turn her into that girl with the 25 body count at 24. Okay, that person is now making an argument that she should be just as desirable to a man as this girl over here has a body count of one and is being really selective. Again, it's a game of shoulds. Should be allows you to justify this bad behavior. But what actually is would make you have to change your behavior, because what actually is the guy is going to far prefer this woman over here with a body count of one than the girl with a body count of 24 or 25. There's just no contest. So choose to live in the land of the shoulds if you want, but you're going to lose a lot of options. Okay. Let's go to 118.26. Let's talk about biology.
There's this assumption that just because someone is older, there's this ticking time clock of either is your purpose going to be fulfilled because you have a family or is it not? And it's like, as you grow older, you just realize it's not that big of a deal to hit these milestones that the world puts on you. It's like if she has these three kids and this $1 million husband, then it's fine. But it's if not, it's okay, and you know, life moves on.
Well, I mean, it's not a societal pressure necessarily. There's a biological pressure too.
It is also a societal pressure.
Yes,
comments. These are not about like her biology. It's the comments are about societally she's 30.
Well, the
and
comments
this and
are not really part of.
But
the
those
conversation
are part of society because we're performing on a stage right now.
Yes, there is a societal, I suppose, some degree of societal expectation, but there's a biological reality that you have a limit in terms of when you can get pregnant and bring that child to term. Hold on, why don't we do this TTS while we're at
I personally am looking to freeze my eggs and then have surrogates and then start a family when I'm like 40.
Okay, but you have the money to do that. And it's not a guarantee that that even works. See, that's a surrogate's very expensive.
So there's like boatloads of issues here. I was like starting to make a list. It was starting to get real long. It kind of just looks like this sloppy mess. Basically, the whole thing is a disaster of what she just said. First of all, societal pressure is going the other way now. Societal pressure is not, it used to be societal pressure, get married, have kids, have a family, get married young, have your kids young. That used to be the societal pressure. That is not what's happening now. The societal pressure on women is the other way now. The societal pressure coming down from modern media, coming down from the feminist movement is you do you. You don't need a man. Freeze your eggs. Delay, delay, delay. Invest in your career. Do something for yourself. That man could leave you and you'll be all alone. It's not grounded in factual reality or data or statistics in terms of what leads to female happiness, in terms of who actually divorces whom, because we know that women divorce men far more often, and we know some of the reasons why that happens. So it's not grounded in truth. in the truth. It's grounded in this desire for women to be on this independent journey, which makes them less and less likely to pair with a man, which destabilizes the family unit, et cetera. That is the goal. So you talk about societal pressure. Yeah, societal pressure is toward what you're saying right now. The freeze the eggs, I'll get a surrogate. Also, there's something deeply broken in women. If your instinct is to say what she's saying here, there is nothing wrong with surrogacy if that's, although, you know, listen, I'm learning a lot about surrogacy too. There's a lot of stuff there's some darkness in there. So I shouldn't say there's nothing wrong. But if you make a decision that you want to go the route of freezing your eggs, if you make a decision that you want to get a surrogate because you have no other option, there's women struggling. We have a fertility crisis in this country right now, in the world actually, for a number of reasons. Women are struggling, having kids. So if that becomes a last resort option for you, you're trying to have a kid, let's say you're married, you're trying, it's not happening for you, then you go the route, okay, let's try, you know, egg-free, let's try all this other stuff. They have all this fancy technology out on. I'm not gonna tell you what to do at all in any respect. That's your body, it's your family, it's your decision-making. But if you on day one are saying, oh, I'm just gonna get a surrogate, I'm just gonna freeze my eggs, I'm just gonna have kids at 40. You are detached from your own, it's like you couldn't get farther from the womb, your own womb. Like you are completely detached from motherhood, from the joys of motherhood, from, you know, the idea that you would wanna nurse your own baby, from the intimacy, a different kind of intimacy of that experience with a child that you're growing inside your body. Your number one instinct should be want to do that naturally and should be to want to do that the way that God, the universe, humanity intended. That should be your number one instinct. If you can't make that happen, I understand the pain, by the way. I have friends that have gone through the pain of not being able to do that. And you go and you try to figure out another route, that's very different. But for you to want to skip what's most natural to your body and most natural to your anatomy, skip all of that, avoid all of that on purpose, and go to what's much more detached from your body, that's odd to me. That tells me that something's breaking in women. They're buying the talking points. And by the way, because she is so sexually loose and because she is treating sex in such a flippant way, and because there's such a deep lack of intimacy in her own sexual experiences on a routine basis, I guarantee you those two things are connected. Okay? Just think about what I said. And think about it on a smaller scale with a woman with a body count of maybe 50 or 30 or 20, because she is disconnected from her body, her womb as well. Biology plays a role in all of this. And the less and less close you get to what nature intended, the more problematic you're going to be in multiple ways of your life. It just is. It's going to manifest in odd relationship dynamics. It's going to manifest in odd mother-child dynamics. It just is. It just is. What else was I going to say here? Also, all those things are not a guarantee. So you can't want, egg freezing and, you know, implantation and all of that stuff and surrogacy, and there's no guarantee there. So if you're going to say, oh, I'm going to do that at 40, well, then it better, if you really want kids, then you're banking on that, right? You're putting yourself outside the window where there's going to be a lot of room to breathe in the trial and error years. So this is just bad advice. It's just bad advice. And she wants to do this with her life, fine. But if she's given this out like this should be the new direction that women look to and what women pursue, bad advice. Very, very bad advice. Going to lead to a lot of deeply miserable women who ultimately do want children and do want families. And this delay is going to hurt them in very big physical and emotional ways. Okay, let's keep playing.
Like, so you're, most women cannot afford to do that.
But yeah, I'm so, that's why I'm saying I am.
Oh, actually, okay. Let's go to, but yeah, I'm not, stop that. 120-30. Let's go to 120-30.
For a lot of women, it's not necessarily like a mandatory part of their lives to start a family anymore.
No, of course not. It's not mandatory.
It's cool if we do, but it's not really a goal I aim for to become a milestone in my life.
Would you agree, though, that generally speaking, most women want to have a family, want to have kids? Not all, but most women.
I don't know if most women right now want to have a family.
Okay, most.
I think
more
you
than
want
50%.
Me to say that, but I don't think
more
a lot
than 50%.
Of women, especially now that they have their own jobs and are able to do more things with their lives and also have kids at a later age, a lot of women don't really want kids right now.
That's not
true. Are you sure you want kids right now?
So this is deluded. This is deluded. This woman is disconnected from her body. she's disconnected from her biology. She's disconnected from her biological nature. It's because of how she's treating sex. I feel very comfortable making that assessment. She's made a living out of this fickle interaction, out of this, you know, she talks about, oh, doing trains. This has become a big game to her. But what's getting lost in that is her connection to her womanhood, to her ability to bear children, to what that all means, to the intimacy and sacredness of that process. So she's also disconnected from the reality that most women do want children. Not all, again, but most women do want children. Most women will say, oh, I can't do it now. And why is that? Because this is what happens. You get out of, and let me tell you this from the perspective of somebody who was an achiever growing up in life. I always was like very diligent in school. And part of it was just because I was that wired that way. I was like a little OCD, honestly. So I was very diligent in school, came out, excelled, valedictorian of my college class. And then there was this expectation that I was going to do something. To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't want to do all that much. I loved school. I loved learning. I loved the environment. I wanted to be a college professor at one point because I loved it. But I was just, I wasn't competitive in the sense of like, now I have to get the internship. I didn't do one internship in school. I didn't want to do it. I wasn't just waiting to get into corporate America. Couldn't stand it. Took one corporate job. I was out. So there was this expectation that was placed on me. I went to graduate school. I went for 1 year. I hated it so much. I left. I was like, I don't want to do this. Because for me, it wasn't about, it was about the experience. But I didn't have this end goal all the time. But what is expected of women is you go through school, it's like, oh, you're expected to go through school and excel. Then you oftentimes come out, you've got debt, you've got all sorts of things. Then it's expected, okay, you're on your own 2 feet. You got to go get a job. You invest in a career. You're paying off your debt. Now you're in the grind. Now it's expected of you to climb that ladder. You've got to pay your rent. You're taking care of yourself. So it's always this idea of like, kids are over here, right? Oh, I have to be financially stable. Now comes in all of that language about don't lean on a man. Don't rely on a man. So they teach women to be afraid that if they leave that career or if they make a choice to say, I don't really want to do this, I'm just going to let, you know, I met this great guy, I'm going to let him do it. That's somehow a dangerous, vulnerable position for that woman to be in. So society preaches, no, you stay in it. You earn your own money. You do all this. And what you have is these women who get to a late age. Suddenly they wake up, they're 30 and they're like, oh my God, I want 3 kids. Like, how am I going to, like, I need to meet someone today. And if I meet somebody, I'm going to have to date them for a while first. And then we're going to get engaged. And then we're going to get married. Oh, this is like the timeline starts to panic them. And they're not 20 anymore. And they're starting to, you know, realize that the 22-year-olds are out there, some of them looking for the same thing. So this whole structure gets in your head, and there's these societal, you want to talk about societal expectations? That's the societal expectation. I lived it. So, and even though I wasn't hardwired to like want, I really wasn't. I was very like, people see this fancy career, but like I was not hardwired to achieve in that sense. I really wasn't. Other than like personal achievement in school, because I just really liked it. I like to be a student. I could have been a student forever, you know. That's what happens to women. That's what happens to women. So it's not about, oh, women don't want kids. It's that they do want them, but they're told that their path needs to do all of this other stuff first. And then that's why the wall comes and the panic comes. It's real. It's real. People who care about women should understand that stuff is real. That they experience. And what I'm trying to do is prevent that. Not pretend it doesn't exist. Okay, let's go to number 7. Then I'm going to get to these chats. Actually, I can read these chats right now, these two that are up. Barroso 2012, $10. Bring coach Corey Wayne of the 3% Man book. His perspective on men versus women and interactions is that man's actions are directly responsible for women's behavior. Will be an eye-opening interview in the manosphere. Oh, that's interesting. I'll look that up. Coach Corey Wayne. I'll write that down. Coach Corey Wayne. I have to look him up, make sure, you know. Alexander gave $50. Hi, first time watching live. Since finding this channel last week, I've been consuming the content a little every day so far. Loving the content. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining. Okay, let's go to number 7. OnlyFans creator says her job's like any other job.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the man should pay.
There go, in my situation, the man should pay, yes.
Right, because you say whoever asks should pay, yet you've never asked a guy out on a date.
Because I don't have to ask guys out.
Precisely. Women don't have to ask.
But they
out.
Could.
She's also speaking as an individual because I've had the completely opposite experience.
Okay, but I would say you're an outlier. I would say most women are more like her than they are like you.
Okay, but why can't most women be like me? Like,
I agree. Why don't women initiate more? Because they don't have to. They have the privilege and the benefit of not having to.
I think that's just again, like personal preference. I think that's straight up just up to
It's not personal preference.
I think it's up to the woman, right?
Sure.
And that's the thing. Like, sure, maybe they don't have to, but like, just pursue other women that would want to be willing to like give you more. Like, if that's your problem.
Men don't have the privilege of waiting around letting women come to them. If men did do that, they would die virgins.
I reach out to men all the time. I'll shoot my shot.
You're an outlier.
I'm an outlier.
You're an outlier.
Yeah, but I'm still in the conversation, so I still count. You know, like even if I'm a minority.
I'm not excluding you
from
the conversation.
I know, I am an outlier, but my experience is still representative of a lot.
Okay, this is number 8, Deli. We want to see if you can, while I'm doing this, find number 7 for me. We're in number 8, that clip. That's fine. We skip around. It's totally cool. But I want to go back to that one if you can find it. So again, they can't exist in this world where you can just say most women. They can't. They have to say, oh, but I do. But she even says, the cat even says, well, why can't more women be like me? Because they're not. Because most women don't want to initiate these conversations. I mean, are we really in the land of make-believe now? We have to pretend that most women want to go up to men and initiate, hey, how are you? Would you like to go out on a date? Can I get you a drink? Can I buy you a drink? First of all, that's just not true. Okay. Secondly, women, by and large, would not like that dynamic. Women like for men to be the ones that have the guts to walk across the room and come up to them. Women like to be pursued. They like a man who pursues them. You know they're into you. It's a man who takes authority of the situation. It's a sign of male dominance that women find attractive. So if they have to go over to you, if you're sitting in the corner of the bar looking around like this and they have to go over to you, most women already don't like the power dynamic that exists between the two of you because the male is the passive and she has to be the more assertive and that dynamic doesn't interest them. They want a dominant man. They want a dominant man. So now we can talk about the cat or we can talk about, you know, Kazumi and say, oh, this woman said this. And then the one on the end says, oh, I like to go up to men. Sure. You exist. You are in the minority, the very slim minority. By the way, most women also in relationships with men, if they do take that authority and go over, that winds up being the guy that doesn't get to stick around because it's already in their head that they had to go up to that guy and that guy's kind of like simpy and meek. And you know where that translates to? The bedroom. It does. Because if a guy is too afraid to go over to you to ask you out, that energy, this is going to translate to the bedroom, okay? And you know what? It may be fun for that woman. I don't know. Maybe she's into all sorts of weird stuff, handcuff. I don't know. But maybe she's the dominant for a night, but she's not going to want to be the dominant for her life. It's just not going to lead to longevity in the vast majority of cases. Can we just not acknowledge that? I love how they try to get Kazumi's like, no, I'm different. You're, honey, in case you didn't realize, what you're doing in life is different from a lot of people. You are not to be compared to the average woman. In any way, shape, or form. So let's just acknowledge that. So Juliet, $10 said, bring Kazumi's parents on as your next guest. Let's find out what went wrong. It's terrible to say, but can you imagine? Yeah. So I hear that you have, oh my God, that would be terrible. People say, how do you feel? Jen, don't say that. That's something is wrong here. This should not be. You should not be doing this. You should not. It's not a good look. It's not a good look to be, like I say, open like 7-Eleven all night long for the whole, you know, for the train. That is not, it's not a good look. Something is wrong. I'm not going to psychoanalyze her, but I think we can all acknowledge that something did not go as planned here. Okay. Did you find 7? Yeah. Okay, let's go back to 7.
I have to live in reality, right? And the reality is that my career and my line of work is still something that is shamed by both men and women, right? Not just men. And a lot of people have a lot of strong feelings about it. But I am thankful that most of the people that are in my life don't really think that it's something that should be shameful, right? And I work towards destigmatizing it every day in my civilian relationships because it is just like any other job.
I mean, you know what? So now we have to swallow. So now we have to swallow from the cat that her job of having sex with multiple people on the internet for pay, for a fee, is somehow the equivalent of the doctor, the lawyer, the cashier at Target, that it's all just the same. No, it's not. It's not the same. You have to own what you're doing. And if you are having sex that loosely with a bunch of guys you don't care about, that is going to be revolting to a lot of men. You have to own that. It's revolting to me, to be honest. And that doesn't mean that I dislike you as a person. I don't even know you. I'm, by the way, not making an assessment of the rest of your character because I don't know you. But what I am making an assessment on is the choice that you've made to do that with your life. And that tells me that something is broken, that something has gone terribly wrong, that you are detached from your female body, and there's a soullessness going on there too in your endeavors, and that you should figure out what that is. And that you need to own that there are people that are going to look at what you're doing and make that judgment. And many of them are going to be good guys that you may ultimately want to land with that are going to look at your track record and say, no way, no how. So it's just like any other job. It's not. It's disgusting. Okay? It really is disgusting. And maybe it's not disgusting to you, and maybe it's not disgusting to the guys who are paying. But I guarantee you a lot of those guys, by the way, that are paying that money, they're not going to want to marry you either. Okay, they're in there for some lightweight entertainment. Oh, it's fun for the moment. And when it comes down for those guys to settle down with someone, they're going to choose a woman who would never do that on screen. And you need to know that, and you need to accept it and swallow it and maybe change course if your ultimate goal is to land with a really good guy. Okay, let's go to, I think it's time. I think I've made you wait long enough. I think it's time for the liberal soy boy. Deli, what do you think? I mean, I think we're ready. Let me just read this one here. People who don't want kids. This is from Mongo King, $5. People who don't want kids are just absolute narcissists. They can lie to themselves about their reasoning, but reality is that their ego comes first. Yes and no, but also you have to realize we live in a society now that demonizes those choices. So women are always being told, like, oh, you'll have to give up your whole life. It'll be horrible. You know, you'll lose your whole life. You'll lose your whole self. You won't be able to do this and that. They list all the things that they won't be able to do. I saw a list the other day that went out. I have to remember where it was. I can't remember right now, though. But it was like telling women all the things they would lose if they had a child and all the things they would gain. And the list of things they would lose was like pages long. And the list of things they would gain was like this big. So when you're hearing that over and over again from media, you have to understand that stuff does get processed. So it may be somebody that would not have gone down that path. You're calling it narcissism, but you hear enough of that throughout your entire life, through your schooling, through your education. Ultimately, it's going to process in and you're going to make decisions that maybe aren't ideal for you. Dustin Denton gave $100. 37-year-old male with 3 matchmaker services. First year, a matchmaker says they say maybe no to kids, but go on date and automatically a no. Matched with 32 to 42, 50% had kids already. Interesting. I'll tell you, as somebody who for many years said I didn't know if I wanted kids, I bought some of that. I bought some of that, like, oh, am I going to be good at it? Am I going to be, I don't know, does it take your whole life? Is it? I was looking at guys in New York, and which did not appeal to me. I'm much more into the Cowboys. So I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, I did eat a lot of that. Am I maternal? I don't know. They try to tell you women over and over again, it's okay to not be maternal. Not everybody's maternal. I don't think you're maternal. They do that. They do that in school. They do that in graduate school. They do it over and over and over again. Because remember, they have to demean that role of a mom. If you wanted to be a mom, that's like, well, what else are you going to do? All right, you'll do that. But like, what are you going to do that's important? Because that's just, you know, whatever. And it processes in, I can tell you. It takes you a while to just deprogram. So cut a little slack. Not for too long, though, because we can't have people living in a daze forever. All right, let's go to the soy boy. Because you know what? I didn't do my boxing today, so I may as well do it now. Let's go.
You want the tweet or the...
Oh, so that's the tweet. Let me read. This is what it says. Then we're going to play the TikTok. This is at leftism for you. This is what he's going to say, by the way. It's sick and twisted that I have to work to survive for basic necessities. What if I don't want to achieve anything? I still have to work till the day I die just to live. Universal health care, universal basic income. It needs to happen now. So this is a guy looking for a free pass. This is a soy boy to the max. Can't imagine why this guy wouldn't get a date. Alpha's in the chat. And any guesses why? Let's listen to him.
It's sick and twisted that I have to work just to survive, just to live my life for basic ass necessities. Like, I don't want to work until the day I die just to eat shit and sleep. Basic human necessities, it shouldn't be controversial. Fucking free housing, free healthcare shouldn't be a goddamn pipe dream. And I know a lot of people are gonna be like, oh, you should be doing this or that. No. Like, what if I don't wanna be rich? What if I wanna achieve shit? I still have to work till the day I fucking die just to live, just to survive. People give up their entire lives just to retire at the ripe age of 60 whatever. For what? To get paid dirt even then? People destroy their bodies physically and mentally just to feed into a capitalistic system that does not give a shit about you. God didn't make me the smartest angel, but I know that shit needs to change. And I don't want to be told that I'm ungrateful, that I should be fucking happy to have a job where it's taking up 40 hours of my goddamn week. You know, I want to spend time with my family. I want to do shit that is fulfilling to me. But all that shit, like, requires so much privilege. It requires so much wealth. And it's just fucking messed up. Like, fucking universal healthcare, like, universal, like, basic income or whatever. Like, it needs to happen now. Like, these fuckers got us to the moon. Like, y'all can fucking figure this shit out. But,
okay,
you know, the rich just...
So, and then he goes on a rant about the rich. Actually, should we play it? I think you've seen enough. I mean, the guy's insufferable in many ways. So let me say this. I wouldn't call him ungrateful. He says, well, they're going to call me ungrateful. I wouldn't call him ungrateful. That's the wrong word. I would call you lazy, entitled, and unambitious. I would 100% call you those three things. By the way, so he's mad, right? Typical liberal soy boy. He doesn't want to have to work. He wants to be lazy. All the things he calls for, free housing, free health care, universal basic income, somebody else pays for that. He wants you out there, you listening, to go out and do your construction job or your banking job or whatever job you have, and he wants you to work really, really, really hard and then the government to take money from you to provide for this lazy guy to just hang out and sleep and chill with his friends and his family and be lazy and have the quality of life that he wants, which sounds like he doesn't aspire to much, but he aspires to mediocrity. So you have to pay for his mediocrity. He doesn't want to even pay for his mediocrity. He doesn't want to work at all. So this is the mindset of liberals, and this is the mindset of these beta guys, right? Who in God's name would want to date this guy? Find me the woman that's going to listen to this and be like, oh, he's a real catch. Doesn't want to work, wants somebody else to pay for everything. He's lazy. He's going on a tirade about capitalism and this, that. He's got no aspirations in life. Does this sound like the kind of guy that is going to provide for a family? Oh, by the way, if you go back to our original clip in the beginning, this is the kind of guy that you don't lean on. This is the kind of guy that you don't lean on and say, oh, he's got my back. Let me make him the decision. Let me have him make the decisions for the family. Mm-mm. No. Ladies, if you're wary about leaning on a man and this is your man, justified. But then why did you pick him? Why? This guy's like an overgrown baby. Talk about a little baby looking for somebody else. What is he looking for, a woman to come along? And maybe she can work and do all this stuff so he could be lazy and sleep till noon and smoke some weed maybe. I mean, I don't know if he does drugs, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the direction his day went in. And then he goes on a rant about capitalism. So just, you know, if you want to live like that, if you want to live like that and you want to just hang out and you don't aspire to be rich, you could be poor. I don't care. But then be poor on your own time and your own dollar. I'm not going to work hard so that you could sit around and just play. And neither should you. So don't embrace a system, by the way, that would do this. You understand what universal basic income means? That means that somebody gets an income for existing. They don't have to do anything. And it doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from your salary because they pull out tax dollars from you. So you go and you work 10 hours tomorrow and they pull money from your hard-earned day and they give it to somebody like this and they claim equity. I mean, what a way to create a society of losers, because you're incentivizing this guy who's a loser and you're disincentivizing that guy who goes out every day and works hard because you're taking his money from him. And he's saying, well, maybe I should just sit home too and get this mediocrity because I'm busting my butt to pay for that guy to go smoke weed in the park for 7 hours. This is how you destroy a society. This is what the system, the matrix, wants. They want a bunch of that guy because women aren't going to want to be with them. They can't lead a household. They can't lead a family. That's the kind of guy that you scare right away and he's, you know, six jabs in. Oh, yeah, I'm scared. Whatever. Is it free? Oh, okay, cool. All right. He'll sign on for any government program. I mean, just useless robots. Nauseating. How unattractive. How deeply unattractive to see a man like that. When I hear a man say, I don't want to work, I don't want to do anything, it's like, I don't know. My ovaries go on vacation. They always did. They just like curled up in a ball and were like, you know, nothing as unattractive as a man who is unambitious, who doesn't want to work, who's lazy. Just add in fat and it's over. I'm telling you how it is. Okay. Let's go to number 10. We're almost done. Let's go to number 10. I just want to show you. This is a tweet. It's from Disclose. I like this count. It says, public broadcasters of Canada, Germany, Switzerland, and Belgium aim to build a fact-based digital space for citizens, citing disinformation, hate, violence, propaganda, and defamation on social networks as reasons. Okay. So you don't even need to click on it. It's another language. All I want you to grasp from this is, can you imagine a world where public broadcasters of different countries got together and decided that they were going to decide what was fact-based, okay? And they were going to say, oh, that's disinformation. Oh, that's hateful. Oh, that's propaganda. So all of these broadcasters, who funds them? Who funds them? Well, look at the media in this country. Media in this country is funded by pharma. So let's say that, let's just put it in a different way. If the media in this country suddenly had the authority to release something like this, and that was what defined information, and that was what defined something that was, you know, publicly acceptable as the truth, and they were heavily funded by a big pharma machine, for example, do you think you'd be getting the truth? So just, this is what government propaganda campaigns do. And I don't care what country it's in. They come out and they say, we're just trying to give you accuracy. We're just trying to weed out the disinformation. We're just trying to weed out the hate. So we're just going to create this sterilized space for you with our facts, supported by our sponsors, and you're going to eat it as the truth. That's state-run media. That's scary. By the way, it may not be happening like this, but it's already happening. Because when you have all of media in this country controlled by pharma, you're already getting the message that they want you to get. When you watch television, I don't have TV anymore. I don't watch. I get all my news online. I've never been happier. I don't have cable. I don't get to watch all the brainwashing and programming. But when you watch TV, you notice how many commercials there are for drugs, for legal drugs, for big pharma drugs? Pay attention. It's all there is. It's like a big marketing campaign for big pharma to get you drug dependent and sick. Nauseating. Anyway, that's what it looks like. Okay, and this last point I want to make here, and then I'm going to go back to the chat for one last round. If anybody has anything in the chat they want me to answer, doesn't have to be related to the Matrix stuff, but this is important, guys. Like, it's a little bit more serious, but it's important. Please get it in the chat now, and I'll read it before we leave. This is the last one I wanted to show you, number 11. Just take a look at this tweet. Okay, we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system, as in making people sicker. Can you look at this is a woman who's in the hospital, or a guy, Nick, okay, says he's in the hospital. I'm not sure if this is his photo. I saw it circulate around. And this is what they gave him while he's in the hospital. What is that? Cornflakes, some garbage. That's probably some maple syrup that has no maple in it. Some Lay's potato chips? Really? Some garbage, whatever that is. It looks like some microwaved food. That bacon doesn't even look like bacon. It looks like raw microwaved garbage. It's probably not even meat. It's probably some Beyond crap. That is not food. So let me ask you something. If you're in a hospital and you're healing from something, do you think any of that food is going to help your body heal? You'd be better off to do a fast. I'm not even playing. Depends how long you're there. If you're there for one afternoon, toss that food in the garbage and fast. But what are they trying to do here? Now, you could sit and a long time I said, oh, they're just dumb. They're just dumb. The doctors don't get the proper training. They don't do any nutritional training. They don't know. I don't believe that anymore, because if I can sit here and know better, so can they. So is the goal to get people well? The system is so broken, and there is so much wealth to be made by you staying sick and being drug dependent, but I am no longer convinced that most people in the traditional medical community want you to get better. Because if you get better, there's no cash cow for them. Why would you ever feed people in a hospital that garbage? Hydrogenated oils, seed oils, in a plastic Tupperware that's probably leaching BPA. I mean, I can't even, nauseating. That is not a healthcare facility. That is not a healthcare facility. So what is your job? Stay out of those facilities. Stay off the medication. That is your job. Your job is to take ownership of your health. Your job is to lose extra weight. Your job is to eat healthy food. And by the way, I'm bringing on a bunch of companies. We just signed a couple of more sponsorships for supplements, for great stuff that I'm going to share with you to help you get healthy. I'm trying to direct you as much as possible when it comes to the food, when it comes to the cookware, when it comes to decisions you make in your own life about what you put into your body. My goal is for less people to wind up in those institutions. I'm going to do everything in my power to provide you with information to keep you and get you healthy. If you're worried about the Matrix, that is the Matrix. The Matrix is you waking up in a hospital bed and looking at that tray. Okay? You know you've come far when you're able to look down and say, this is crap. I'm not eating any of this. And now I'm a little bit worried about whether or not they're taking care of me well, because if they don't even know that, what else don't they know? Then I know you're thinking. Okay? And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I am trying to wake you up. Because if I don't, who will? Okay, we have a couple in here. One has a big exclamation point. Does that mean I don't have to read it, Deli? I don't know what's going on there. Maybe there was some type of... Y'all trying to just set something on fire in my show? I don't know what's going on there. Verdon Herrera, $10. Kazumi talking about how diverse her sexual partners are is like a ticket seller to the state fair bragging how diverse their customer service record is. It's true. I think there's something very nasty, and we'll close with this. Don't you think there's something very nasty about a woman who just brags like that about their looseness? Is there something just fundamentally broken and nasty about that? Disconnected. And I use the word womb because when you have a baby, you can't help. I never looked at my stomach like a stomach again after I had a baby. It's like you look at it like it's a womb. You know, it's just, it's so, you're connected to your anatomy in such a different way as a woman once you have a child, and you know your superpower. And just to like, it's like my distaste for all of this stuff just grew so much after that. Now, I don't know. Maybe she'll one day have a child and change. The unfortunate reality is when you're living like this, it's hard to undo. So that's my message to women. You can't undo it all. Think wisely, because you can't undo it all. Some of it kind of leaves the scarlet letter. You know, it just does. Guys can't unsee what they can't unsee, especially if it's on the internet. All right, thanks, y'all, for being here. I'm going to be back here on Wednesday with some crazy. And by the way, please, first of all, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. And I also want to hear from you in the comments. Leave a comment about who you would like to hear from on the show and let me know. And you never know. You might just see that guest to your live. Have a great day.